remember the old story. In fact, apparently, it was Ronald Reagan's favorite story. And nobody really knows where this story came from. There's so many different editions of it that all of us would probably tell it a little bit differently. But Reagan would tell the story this way. He talked about the fact that there was a dad who had twin sons that saw the world totally differently. And in fact, he thought that one of his sons was such a pessimist that he might need some kind of professional help to get him past this. And so on their birthday, he sought to kind of prove how serious of a problem this was by buying his sons two distinctly and very different presents for their birthday. And so the first son, whom he had given just unbelievable number of toys, just over the top, everything that could be imagined for him to play with, he went by his son's room that night and he saw his son sitting there on his bed crying. And so he asked his son, "Son, what's wrong?" And he says, "Well, I'll run out of batteries. All my friends will want some of this stuff and will want to play with it. They'll break it. It'll be a catastrophe. I don't know what to do with all this stuff. It's overwhelming me." And so he kind of gained a sense, again, of that son being the eternal pessimist. So he went down the hallway to his next son, who he had filled his room with horse manure. And he found his son dancing in the horse manure in his room, just talking to himself and with exuberance. And his dad stopped and said, "Son, what's going on in here?" And he says, "Well, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere." The point is, yes, we all see our lives through the various lenses that we have come to understand and come to apply to everything that we see. Or in other words, our attitudes are the lens through which we experience life. We talk about people that have rose-colored glasses. They don't see things in reality according to the rest of the world. But the reality is, one way or the other, you are looking at life through a mindset. You are looking at life through a perspective that you have gained over a period of time. We might argue that that is the attitude that rules in your mind or in your heart. And everything that happens to you, you see through that. That's why one child can see the greatest gifts of a lifetime in a negative way, and another child can take a look at rubbish and see the great promise and possibilities in that. Because it's interpreted in our minds. It's not that everybody evaluates or sees things in exactly the same way. This Sunday, we're kind of breaking out of our study in the Gospel of John for several weeks to kind of give you a mental break. And then we'll pick back up in John's Gospel here in a few weeks. And we're beginning a series that we've been talking about called Emoticons. Emoticons. And today we're going to look at a general overarching perspective, the attitude and how it begins to play out in our lives and produce a number of emotions within all of us. And we're certainly not looking at all of them as we think about over the next weeks the results of anger and worry and grief and depression. We could also be talking about critical spirits, judgmentalism, abrasiveness, selfishness. The list goes on and on of the things that we could talk about. But we're going to spend these next weeks analyzing our own attitudes. And the question that I want you to deal with in your own heart and your own life is, you know, what lens are you looking through life? What attitude of your spirit is bearing out fruit in your life that you don't want? Where are the weeds, so to speak, that need to be pulled? Where are the rose-colored glasses giving you the wrong image? And what is God saying to you about how you can begin to enjoy the Spirit of the Lord in your life on a regular basis as He transforms and changes your heart and your attitude? The reality is we live in a society that really does not believe that people can be changed. That's why some people will go into counseling for an entire lifetime, never expecting that their life could be changed and could be transformed. We, even in the church, we frequently talk about a person coming to Christ, making a commitment to follow Jesus, but we're really slow on watching and seeing and helping people see their lives transformed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. If we miss the point that Jesus can change your life, we miss the essence of the gospel. And it's not just a spiritual transaction, it's an entire life transaction that He can make a difference in our lives. The reality is that we are all broken and we need to be rewired. Your thinking literally has been built into you from a very early childhood. You're born with things. As a dad, I am absolutely, from my perspective and from what I've seen, I'm absolutely positive that our kids are not equal even when they're born. They have certain tendencies that go one way or the other. And then over the course of their lifetime, all of their experiences begin to reinforce their attitudes and their thoughts about themselves. And I even hear voices from my past at certain times in my life that remind me of what other people said that were part and partial to shaping me and turning me into the person that I am today. And the reality is that all of us have miswired our brains in many ways. I'm working with this computer right now. I'm about ready to throw it out the window. Because the older it gets, the more bugs it seems to have in it, and the more things go wrong with it. In life, it seems like it doesn't take very long, and those bugs begin to work into our mind, and we no longer see things the way God sees things, but we filter it through our own attitudes, and through our own perspectives, and through our own experiences. And we literally torture ourselves in our fallen nature. The reality is, we are broken. Does anybody understand that? Anybody here think they are perfectly wired straight out of the box? We are broken and we need to be rewired. We need to be transformed. When it comes to the Scriptures, we see this, particularly Paul puts this so well for us. And most of you are very familiar with this Scripture out of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what isn't always apparent in English often is apparent when we look into the language of the New Testament itself. This process, this renewing of your mind, is something that the Spirit of God begins to work into your life. But as we're going to see when we get to the book of Ephesians, you have to cooperate with the Spirit of God if He's going to transform your life. All the power comes from Him. But you have to cooperate with him as he renews your mind. The passage that we're going to look at today throws just a little bit of a different light on this and gives us a little bit more information. This is out of Ephesians chapter 4, where we'll read the text in a moment. You took off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. You are being renewed in the spirit of your minds. That almost sounds like the same thing, doesn't it? It is slightly different, but the wording is almost exactly the same, and these are the only two times in the New Testament we get this expression, this renewing of your mind. Clearly, Paul had the same thing in mind in Romans chapter 12 that he talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. The point is you can change. You do not have to remain broken and dysfunctional for your entire life. The Spirit of God can transform and begin to change your life and change your thinking. Now, John Piper, this is one of the most insightful things I've ever read that he wrote. And so, listen to this. In light of where we're going, built upon this Ephesians passage here. He says, the human mind is not a sophisticated computer managing data, which it then faithfully presents to the heart for appropriate emotional responses. The mind has a spirit. And that's one of the significant differences in the Ephesians passage. It is the spirit of your mind, not the Holy Spirit that's being referred to in Ephesians 4. Your mind has a spirit. In other words, our mind has what we call a mindset. It doesn't have just a view, it has a viewpoint. It doesn't just have the power to perceive and detect. It also has a posture, a demeanor, a bearing, an attitude, a bent. It has rose-colored glasses, in other words, that lead you to take things that happen to you and cause you to misexperience them and misapply them in your thinking. He says the problem with our minds is not merely that we are finite and don't have all the information. The problem is that our minds are fallen, broken, fallen. Our minds are fallen. They have a spirit, a bent, a mindset that is hostile to the absolute supremacy of God. Our minds are bent on not seeing God as infinitely more worthy of praise than we are or the things that we make or achieve. In other words, we are self-centered and we don't want to make God first. We want to be first and our mind is hostile to Him, fighting Him every step of the way. That's who the old self is that we look at here in Ephesians chapter 4. With that said, open your Bibles to Ephesians 4. We're going to look at verses 17 through 24 this Sunday. And then we're going to pick up the second part of the ending of that chapter next week as we look particularly at the attitude of anger. So this is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24. Therefore I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you learned about the Messiah, assuming you heard about Him and were taught by Him, because the truth is in Jesus. You took off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. You are being renewed in the spirit of your minds. You put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness and purity of the truth. The reality is that when we begin to look at this passage of Scripture, we begin to understand that there is a battle that is going on in your life for your mind. It is a spiritual battle that is taking place inside of your head. It's almost the accumulation of your life experience and your own fallen state as a human being in rebellion against God. And who's going to win that battle is at stake. And your very attitude and your heart in regards to almost everything is dependent upon whether you win that battle through the power of the Lord. Why are there so many miserable, sour-faced Christians in the world? When God tells us repeatedly, and Paul tells us repeatedly, particularly in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You will not experience the joy of the Lord until you allow His Spirit and His Word to transform your life and change you. It's just a given. If you're searching for answers outside of that relationship, you'll never experience that kind of joy. So as we look at this battle here in these verses, there's three things we're going to look at in a little bit in depth this morning. Let go of your old mindset. That's as simple as it can be in verses 17 and 9 through 19. Secondly, embrace the Spirit's renewal of your mind. We find that in verses 20 through 23. And then finally, put on the character of Christ. We know, we see that passage, and in fact, isn't it interesting when you look at the Scriptures, particularly one of the greatest ways you can study Paul's writings is go out on Bible Gateway, limit your searches to just Paul's letters, and then do a search like new self or mind or thought or whatever, and get all the passages that line up in Paul's writings on that. And what you're going to find is there are parallels in other places. We have one set of parallels on this passage that we find today in Ephesians. We find a set of parallels in the book of Romans, and we find another set of parallels in the book of Colossians. And in each of those situations, the same words are used, but there's always just a little bit of different information that helps us there along the way. And so when he says, put off and put on, he says that here in this passage of Scripture, and we start to think about changing clothes. Put off the old stuff and put on some new stuff. And that's the image that He wants us to be able to see when we look at this. There's stuff that we ought to get rid of. Old habits and old ways and old attitudes, old beliefs. Get rid of that stuff. Allow the Spirit of God to transform us and then put on new things in their place. Let your mind totally be changed. reprogrammed by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. So let's look at here, first of all, at this passage of Scripture and think about the things that need to go, that need to be, we need to be ridded of in our own lives. And this is not the list like we see that stands opposite of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, that all behavior list. These are all attitudinal lists. Do you understand the difference? When Jesus says that if a man is lusted for a woman in his heart, he's committed adultery, you have something going on inside of him that ultimately results in behavior. The same thing is true here. These are the things that are going on inside of us that result in the wrong behavior. And so these are attitudes inside of one that has not been transformed by the Spirit of God. And these are the things that we need to rid ourselves of and allow the Spirit of God to rid us of. And so beginning in verse 17 again, listen to some of these things. Therefore I say this and testify to the Lord, you shall no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. They become callous and give themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity and desire for more. You took off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. Do you hear all those attitudes that are inside of the one who does not have an experience with Jesus Christ? But those things are still in us if we've not learned from God's Word and allowed His Spirit to transform us and change us. And if I look out at this room, if we're completely honest, every one of us is still struggling with some or all of what's there, even to this day. God is working those things out in us. Again, when we look at the book of Romans, it throws some light on what we just see. For though they knew God, this is chapter 1, they did not glorify Him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense. A mind that is not controlled by God and is in rebellion against God, their thinking became nonsense and their senseless minds were darkened. Or we can see it at the end of that chapter, moving a little bit further. And because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a worthless mind to do what is morally wrong. You see, what's going on in their mind is nonsense, darkness, and worthless. Their thinking is all messed up. Like me trying to mess with a computer, but it just won't do what it's supposed to do. Because there's errors in the system, in their thinking. Again, as we move further in the book of Romans, we see this concept, and Sarah, this is for you. This is straight out of the Holman Christian Standard here. For the mindset of the flesh is death. She's working on her PhD, and she's been talking about mindsets when it comes to people's ability to learn mathematics. And here it is right in the Scriptures, in a different way, obviously, but the same concept. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. The point is what happens in the mind that has not been transformed by God is this mindset that interprets everything in such a way, brokenness, wrongly, the old expression, garbage in, garbage out. You never get the right answer because all you've got is trash on the inside. The wiring's messed up. Your thinking is messed up. When you begin to look at this list and just take it as it is. This is straight out of the text, just put by bullet points. Futility of their thoughts, darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God. And that zoos that we studied here in the Gospel of John, the vitality of life that can give joy is missing. There's ignorance in them. There's a hardness in their hearts. There's a callousness. They're given over to promiscuity, to practice every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. It's insatiable. They're caught in this trap. They can never get what they need because it's always out of reach. Their thinking is so futile. It's corrupted by deceitful desires, hostile to God. And this is the thing that is said there in those Roman passages. It refuses, it will not submit to God. And so it stays in its messed up state, absolute total confusion, and never finds the healing, the joy, the happiness, the fulfillment that God wants to bring into the life of the person whose thinking is straightened out. Does that sound familiar at all? I mean, it sounds familiar for us, I hope. I hope you can sense that and it resonates with you. But in our culture is even going faster and further than we ever thought down exactly these same paths. If you haven't seen it this week, it's interesting. There's been a video of it that's been going through Facebook. And it's about a guy that's going and doing interviews at Seattle University, and he's just asking college students, explain the difference between a man and a woman. And of all the ones, this 3.5 minute video, have any of you seen this? They don't know what to say. They're just dumbfounded because there's obvious differences, but they will not admit those differences. They refuse to admit those differences because it doesn't fit their mindset. And so, literally, as you listen to them, you're just dumbfounded by the ignorance that doesn't understand that there's a difference between a man and a woman anymore. By their thinking, if you want to be a man, you can be a man. If you want to be a woman, you can be a woman. By their thinking, that means that women are not the only ones that can have babies. Men can have babies. It's just nonsense. Futility. A lack of any understanding because they bought into a mindset. And they won't hear anything else. They can't hear the truth. That, yeah, the obvious that a man is different from a woman. But when you go down a certain step of series of thinking and processes, you can no longer even accept the obvious anymore. The futility of their thinking. That's what Paul is talking about here. The second thing in this passage that comes out so obviously is the embrace the Spirit's renewal of your mind. Now, as we look at this passage again, there's so many details in here that I think I've missed a couple of times when I've come through here. This is verse 20. But that is not how you learned about the Messiah. Now, that's a kind of an interesting expression there, and most of the new translations are putting it that way. The word actually is disciple. This is not how you were discipled about the Messiah. The difference is you can teach somebody knowledge. You can teach somebody facts. You can tell them memorize a list. But when it comes to discipleship, that's something totally different. Discipleship means that you live with them, you show them, you bring them along, kind of like what a family does with their kid, and what the church ought to be doing, exactly what Jesus did with his disciples. It's not just a passing on of a few facts. I've often been amazed that one of the one person that I know, and Gayla, you'll remember this too, Mike Pearson. Mike Pearson was one of the most brilliant people I've ever known. He knew more Bible than anybody. Anybody. You could start any scripture verse and he could finish it and add five more to it. Any. But Mike's mind was fried on drugs. He was so messed up he didn't know anything. He didn't know anything about what that meant. He could just quote it to you and give you the facts. He was completely untouched by it. That's so much of the church today. We kind of superficially know the scriptures, but we have not learned or been discipled about the Messiah. Significant difference here in this passage of scripture. But that is not how you were discipled about the Messiah, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him. Now you might think, wow, we're taught by him. How can we be taught by him? You are taught by him when you open his word and the Spirit of God begins to apply it to your heart. You're being taught by him because the truth is in Jesus. You took off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. You are being renewed in the spirit of your mind. The point is simply this. The key to this transformation, this change that takes place in our life, that ultimately will give us the joy of the Lord, the key is to learn about Jesus, to be taught by him, and by being renewed in the spirit of our minds. To be rewired and to be changed. To be transformed by relationship with Christ. It involves ongoing process of learning what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be a disciple, to be taught by him. A friend of mine put this on Facebook this week, and I thought it was interesting that it came this week while I was thinking about this subject. It's called reading. It's how people install new software into their brains. And what makes that even better is if you thought of that biblically speaking. That's how God installs new software in our brains. He begins to teach us the truth. And the truth will collide with the nonsense that we've believed and we've lived in the past. And the more we allow God's Spirit to work into our lives, the truth of His Word and the testimony of His Spirit, the more and more those errors that we've believed in the past will be changed and transformed. And we'll find ourselves in some kind of alignment with God Himself, believing what He has revealed to us. And when we find that, we begin to experience joy that is unsurpassable by anything else. We begin to experience the joy of the Lord. So there's no shortcuts, people. Everybody's always wanting the new microwave spiritually in our society. But how do we see transformation when it comes down to the hard facts? We need to study God's Word and apply it to our lives. We need to be involved with a group, a small group, or a Sunday school class, and we need to study on our weaknesses. If you have problems with anger and you haven't searched the Bible for what God says about anger, is that smart? No, that's futile. Why would you not do the obvious of find out what God says about the subject that you struggle with? It's applied Scripture. It's discipleship that needs to take place in our lives. Meeting with God's people in worship and doing private worship, as we focus on Him, we become less focused on ourselves. We have to learn to pray and seek God's wisdom and His strength when we don't know what to do or we don't understand why we feel the way we do. Because likely it is we've misinterpreted what God is saying about things to us. But we wouldn't know it unless we ask Him. And we need to have ongoing fellowship with believers that is real and open. Non-judgmental, where we can literally say to our brother, yeah, I struggle with this and I need help with that. That kind of fellowship will build lives that are transformed. And just discipleship. Good one-on-one or in a triad discipleship or in a small group, where other people that have been down this path, who've been a little bit more rewired than we are, can share their experience with us about how we can allow the Spirit of God to do a work within us. We need to do the hard stuff. So as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, I pray, as he prayed for the church, that the perception of your mind might be enlightened. In other words, Paul was praying for these people along the lines of what he was telling them in chapter 4. You really need to experience this complete renewing of your mind. And I'm praying for you so that the perception and the viewpoint and the mindset that you currently have would be changed, enlightened by the Spirit of God, so that you can see the way things really are and your life can be transformed and changed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, among my favorite verses, we're reminded there, and it sounds so much like what we've already seen, we demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Because the more we know about His Word, the more we can take our thinking and draw it back to the revelation of God and begin to live it out in our lives and experience the joy of the Lord. So we have to learn. We have to learn to take control of our minds. We cannot say, I can't control that. I just automatically, when this happens, I find myself all the way over here, angry as I can be. Because that happened and I can't control between point A and point B. Yes, you can. That's what he's talking about right there. Take captive every thought. Stop it. You know where it's going. Stop it before you get there. Is that easy? Not at first. Maybe not ever. But that's how you begin to take captive the thought process of your mind and you begin to see the Spirit of God transform your thinking. You know when you're following down the path and you know where it's going to go. Why go there again and again and again and again and experience the pain that comes with it that you know is coming even right from the very beginning? You can stop it. You can take control of every thought. Now finally, and this is very briefly, put on the character of Christ. When you look at this passage, you might think, I don't get that out of here, but put on the new self. We put off the old self with all the trash and all the miswiring and the mistakes that were there. We're allowing the Spirit of God to transform our life and begin to change our thinking and take our brokenness and rewire it. The final thing is put on the new self the one created according to the likeness of Christ, or God's likeness, in righteousness and purity of truth. Now, when you look at that, we have basically this going on. In Genesis chapter 2, which is just so significant, we keep coming back to this over and over again. In Genesis chapter 2, God created Adam and Eve, man and woman, in what? In His image. In the image of God Himself. That's what makes us so different, is we were created in the image of God. But when chapter 2 comes, and Adam and Eve choose to rebel against God, what happened in that moment was they were changed in a negative way. Their rebellion resulted in the old self that Paul's been talking about here in this passage of Ephesians. It is fallen, it is ignorant, it is darkened, it's the old mindset that has set itself against God in rebellion. Point number one that we talked about all through the message. Finally, what God is offering to us here in this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 is a new self, which if you look at the text there, is renewed in the spirit of our minds, put on the new self, the one creating according to God's likeness. It is not accidental that He uses that terminology there. He wants us to understand that what God is offering us is to take our brokenness out of Genesis chapter 3 that you and I continue to live in today. He is inviting us to see that brokenness transform so that we're back to Genesis chapter 2. And actually, we're better off than that, as I mentioned several weeks ago. We're Revelation 22, never to return to Genesis chapter 3. Transformed and totally changed, recreated in this sense of righteousness and holiness that can only come through who? Jesus Christ Himself. Our lives are transformed and changed. That's when the character of Christ needs to start living out of us. The old things have passed away and all things are new. We are new creatures in Christ, as Paul says elsewhere. No longer broken, no longer totally broken, but in the process of being healed. And then perfected when we see Him face to face. The point is your mindset can be changed. Again, let go of that old mindset. Embrace the Spirit's renewal in your mind and put on the character of Christ. That's what He wants to do in your life and in mine. Hasidic Judaism is interesting. All Judaism, you really understand, is not monolithic. It's not the same everywhere. When they lost the land of Israel, they were expelled all the way around the world. And so you have vast differences in Judaism around the world. But Hasidic Jews are said, even among the entire Jewish community, to have returned joy to Judaism. They're the ones that, like in Fiddler on the Roof, I don't know if you've watched Fiddler on the Roof, it moves slow compared to the stuff today. But in the old Fiddler on the Roof, you see those guys dancing around and I can't even do it. Get down on your knees like this and start kicking your legs out, and they're dancing around exuberant. That kind of exuberance, Judaism says, this group of Hasidic Jews really returned joy to Judaism. Now, among the Jewish community, they have a little story that they use to illustrate this. They suppose that a deaf man is walking down the street and he sees a whole group of Hasidic Jews in a wedding ceremony celebrating like this. And he sees them, of course he can't hear anything, but he sees them doing all these contortions and he sees these smiles on their face, even though that they're doing what appears to be very painful. And he looks at this and he says, man, this is nuts. This is nonsense. It's crazy. What are they doing in there? Because he can't hear what? The music. He doesn't have the perspective that the music brings. And so to him, it's just a bunch of contortions that are taking place because he doesn't hear the music. The same thing is literally true for us as followers of Jesus Christ. Those that do not know Him as Lord and Savior will look at some of the stuff that we believe and they say, those people are nuts. They're irrational. They don't make sense. They don't understand. Well, in a large part, it's only because they don't hear the music. They don't hear the resonance that comes When God's law and God's Spirit begin to transform our lives and bring truth and reality and a God-like perspective to our lives, everything begins to make sense and the joy of the Lord that is unspeakable and full of His glory begins to transform us into the likeness of Christ. That's what Paul is talking about here. The joy in your life can be restored. You can experience the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit and of the Word touching your life. This morning as we close and we think about next steps, I ask you to think about some things this week. Ask God to show you where your old self is still at work in your life. You can identify where the shorts come. You know what I'm talking about? When you find yourself suddenly going down a path, you know where it's going and you don't really want to go there, but you've been there 1,000 times and you still go there. Ask God to identify those areas in your life. Actively embrace the Spirit's renewal of your mind. Start to ask the Spirit of God to speak truth to that situation. Is it really that big a deal? Are you making a wrong judgment, a wrong perspective? Do you need to open God's Word and find out what He really says about these things so that He can begin to take the shorts out of your life and begin to rewire you into the likeness of Christ? And then put on the character of Christ. Begin to let His holiness and His righteousness live out of you and pursue transformation. Because God never intended for us to stay where we were when we came to know Him. The beauty of the Christian life is not just that you go to heaven someday when you die. That's pretty good stuff. But He wants to transform us and change us right now so that we can literally do, as Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we meet around Your Word this morning, we have to acknowledge, I acknowledge that, Lord, I am not where I ought to be in my own thinking. That there are many shorts in my life that, Father, I need to acknowledge and allow You to begin to unfurl in different ways and transform and change me. Lord, I pray that You would do that here in my life and in the lives of this congregation so that, Lord, we would not be ones that just talk about stuff that we never really do, but we might be totally changed and transformed into the image of Your Son for Your glory and for our joy that is found in You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.